Now, we often talk on the show, don't we, about ultra-right-wing ultras, if you like, at football clubs sort of taking over the fan base and clubs, very right-leaning chairmen and presidents saying things that you'd rather they didn't. But you don't often talk about the left-wing football clubs, which is why I'm sure Stuart McGill and Vince Raisin have written The Roaring Red Front, the world's top left-wing football clubs. It is a complex subject, certainly when you look at some of the bigger clubs, and we'll discuss that now with the guys who are with us in the studio. Good afternoon, fellas.
Good afternoon.
But it's interesting, you've looked at the clubs that you regard as right-wing, and they range from, well, from Liverpool to Dulwich Hamlet. So maybe we should start with Liverpool, because it's interesting, isn't it, that essentially at its heart is you've got a kind of a fan base from a working-class era, with working-class roots, yet, you know, it's now owned by an American venture capitalist and it's just a big commercial organisation. So are those things difficult to marry or not?
I think of the 11 clubs that we cover for the first team in the book, only really Sampdoria and Red Star have a ownership and management which is wholly in tune with the left-wing ultras. Liverpool is an interesting relationship. Speaking to some of the guys up there from Spirit of Shankly, who call themselves the Football Supporters Trade Union up there, and they do take that union attitude. Whenever Liverpool got involved in a disaster of the European Super League, a lot of people in the management here recognised this was a problem, communicated the issue back to the American owners, and they met, and they put together a new structure where the fans don't really have a certain veto over things that will happen. So even though it's owned by a right-wing bunch of people or a right-wing bunch of venture capitalists in the States, they listened, and they listened to the trade union, and they have put together quite an interesting model of ownership and management for the club now. Yeah. So Liverpool supporters certainly are in the main off the left, basically going back to Hillsborough and Thatcher's assault on the city in the 1980s. The football support there reflects the left-wing nature of the city.
Sure. Yeah, and the thing with the national anthem and all that side of it as well.
Yeah.
What about Celtic? Because you tend to think of those as similar.
What about that, Vince? Some Celtic from...
Yeah, that's a complicated one. And we didn't include them in the first 11 because of the complications at Celtic. Obviously, they do have a very left-wing nature, and there is a lot of charity work they do, a lot of great work they do for refugees, etc. But there is the sectarianism issue, and we can't really deny that. And I'm sure they will understand that that's why... You know, that's why they're on the bench for us.
Yes, you've got the main clubs, as I said, a really kind of diverse range of clubs, and you've got a bench of other clubs that didn't quite make it, but they've all got a chapter, and you all reason out why you feel that they are left-leaning. Years ago, I had a mate who lived in Barcelona, and he got friendly with one of the sort of left-wing ultras there, and he had a birthday party in one of the bars they used to frequent near the Nou Camp. And we went along, and they just had big buckets of beers outside, and we were chatting away, and a bunch of Barcelona fans on the other side of the road came along, and they started basically giving each other a load of stick. And I said to the guy, "What's going on there?" They said, "Oh, they're right-wing ultras, you know, we don't get on, you know." So they stand at the other end of the stadium. Big clubs like that, you've got different political factions.
Oh, yeah, by no means everybody, say, in a side like Werder Bremen. They have left-wing and right-wing ultras who apparently quite enjoy a bit of a row after the game.
Even though they support the same club.
Yeah, but at the same time, different mentalities. I mean, politics isn't something that is so important for most British football clubs. If you look at, say, big cities like Milan, broadly speaking, in the old days, if you were right-wing, you followed Inter. If you're off the left, you would follow Milan. In Buenos Aires too, but if you're left, you follow Boca, or if you're right, you follow River. Not 100%, but that's the broad sort of split. There was that kind of political division, which we don't really have here.
Yeah. Dulwich Hamlet, Vincent, that's an interesting one. This is your club, I understand, is that right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the club themselves say we're not political at all, but the fans, they support the fans in doing things for various groups that are definitely left-wing causes, such as... you know, anti-discrimination, anti-homophobia, and you know, collecting for refugees and that sort of thing. So that all comes from the fans, and really the directors are all fans too. So they, they're not overtly political, they do support a lot of good causes.
Not the hams at Dulwich Hamlet, but does it often manifest itself in violence? I mean, you've mentioned sort of rucks between groups. Is that a common theme?
I wouldn't say it's a particularly common thing, but it does happen. Certainly, if you read the Rayo Vallecano chapter and the Bucaneros website, these are guys who take a certain pride in making sure that any other firm comes down there, they get kicked off the territory. Because, like I say in that chapter, they might be a bunch of lefties, but a football firm is a football firm, and there's certain kind of principles you have to enforce, which is your territorial integrity.
Well, you had some problems with São Paulo, who are a kind of legendary club from that point of view. They're often talked about, the German club, and yeah, some of their ultras didn't like the fact. Was it you, Vincent, who went over? And they didn't like you taking photographs.
Yes, I know. Yes, I mean they literally grabbed my phone and got me to delete them. You know,
wow.
They're very sensitive about anything that they might do that could be construed as being illegal. Because I think officially, you know, you can't set off flares in the ground. You can't smoke weed either, but they they do, and the club really doesn't mind. But I think, yeah, you know, perhaps they don't want to mess with the German police. I'm not sure I would, having seen them line up for the Hamburg derby, which is also today against SV Hamburg. And, you know, they have a very strong police presence at those games, and they're really not messing about.
And Stuart, you went to Boca, where I've been a few times, and you did something I'd never do. You stood with the 12, La Doce, the people behind the goal, and
yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
That was a great time, and a lot of people...
A lot of jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, the jumping up and down, you got a choice whether you can do it in Boca. You go to São Paulo, you have to jump up and down, or you get the finger pointed at you, like you're one of the zombies.
Well, they have an expression in Argentina: he who doesn't jump is an Englishman.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Well, as a good citizen of the Irish Republic, I've got no problem jumping up and down.
Yeah.
You had a great time there, and like quite a few people in that crowd, football tourists, because a lot of people there... They only go to Boca once every year or so. So they're, like me, just excited to be there. And I don't think I've been in such a good-natured crowd for some considerable years. It's a great time.
Mm. Is that what you guys also managed to organise a friendly between a couple of these clubs? Managed to get a match on, is that right?
We're still trying to arrange that because times are difficult, but we are trying to put together a game between United Glasgow, who are a refugee team formed up in that city, and Napoli United, formerly Afro Napoli United, who... Afro Napoli have become a more regular side now, but they have a bunch of very left-wing pro-refugee people who run them. So hopefully that game will take place sometime early in 2023.
Fantastic. Guys, we're out of time, sadly, but we wish you well with the book. Mm. A fascinating subject. And it's called The Roaring Red Front, the world's top left-wing football clubs. And it is published by Pitch and is out in paperback now. Good to see you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Dave Edwards joins us later on. A lot of stories that Nuno could be returning to Wolves as a former Wolves player. We'll get Dave's thoughts on that. We'll look at some of the big games this weekend. We will speak to a golfer that defied odds of 10 billion to 1. He'll tell us what he did in the next hour.